What do you do with truth? What do you do with truth? Many times in our society, in our lives, in our world, truth has been trampled underfoot. Brother Sammons is doing a splendid series on the King James Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, part of the reason, it's not the only reason, but part of the reason I love this old book is because people have given their very lives to preserve it to this very day for us. What do you do with truth? Well, I find most people do one of three things with truth. They, first of all, ignore truth. When you come to somebody and you present them a principle from the Word of God, sometimes people, Mr. Jack, will choose to just simply ignore what you've told them. Well, I don't think I need to do that. Some people will hear truth, they will think about it, and then they will discard truth as the Bible just being a book like other books, like other philosophical writings, like other religious texts. But I want to tell you that the best thing you can do with truth is not ignore it or discard it, is receive truth and allow it to make changes in your life. That's what we ought to do with truth. Not be like Pilate, who said, "What is truth?" when Jesus presented him with truth. There's a lot of people like that. What is truth? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, will you be someone during this series of messages? And I promise you, this series, it's not going to be the most flowery, the most oratorical. It's going to be very practical. And can I say this? At some points, it's going to be very hard-hitting. You say, why is that? Because what we need are not deeper truths. We need a deeper obedience to the truths that we know. That's what I need. I need to be that way. And I know if I need to be that way, and I'm made of the same stuff that you are, that you need that too. Go over to James chapter number 1. We'll be here a couple times tonight in James chapter number 1. So important as we start this series of messages that you make a covenant with God. You say, what is that, Pastor? Well, in our text, we were introduced to two men. One was wise and one was foolish. Both of these men heard what God said. Amen? Both of these men, the wise man and the foolish man, heard what God said. The wise man chose to do what God said. The foolish man chose not to do what God said. If you look at James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves," James 1:22 says. So listen, if you're going to benefit from these messages, if these messages are going to help you, if they're going to get in your life and make changes, you have to make a covenant before God that as He presents truth to you, no matter how feeble the messenger, amen, no matter how feeble the messenger, no matter how I stutter and stammer and stagger along sometimes in a message, that when God presents truth to you, you're going to be a doer, not just a hearer. Listen, there are people whose homes are train wrecks because they're hearers only. They go, they hear it, they go, they close their Bible, they go home, the Bible gets dusty for 7 days, they dust it off, come back, hear again on Sunday, go home and don't do. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be doers of the Word of God. Doers. There are proper ways to build. Now, for this I had to study, because I have no idea about building anything. Amen? Trust me, you don't want me building. Thank you. Amen. That's a good spot for an amen. You don't want me building. I don't know what I'm doing. Amen. I could wreck, when I was in wood shop, everything, terrible to say, but everything turned out to be a box to put junk in. Whatever I built in wood shop, if it was a bird feeder, it never turned out right and it became a box to put junk in. That's all I could do. But listen, I know this. Having watched people build, there are proper ways to build. First of all, there's the idea. You get the idea. Then you take the idea and you get it to someone who can design. And they lay out the prints. My wife is just a few credits short of an architecture degree, a bachelor's of architecture. She's someone that would lay out the prints and begin to take that design and put it down so someone could take it and begin to build. I'm going to look at tonight six things that will help you, that are essential in building a Christian home. And I believe even the order is essential. If we could, first of all, let's go over back to Matthew chapter number 7. We have three scriptures to look at on this first point. Matthew chapter number 7, and then we'll go over to Matthew 16, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, all on this first point here. The first part of building a Christian home is you need the Son of God. You need the Son of God. If we could, Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." A rock. If you go over to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 15, and we're told of a conversation between the Apostle Peter and the Lord Jesus. And many a denomination has taken these verses out of context and said that God built the church upon Peter. No. Verse number 15, "He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to tell you this, folks, that this rock is not talking about Peter. It's talking about the statement that Peter made in verse number 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to build a Christian home, we have to have the Son of God. Christianity is Christ. Amen? Now I know that Christianity is so many other things. And we've got little stores and they have little trinkets that show you're a Christian. And by the way, I'm not against a bumper sticker. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, without Jesus Christ, there is no Christianity. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And look, if you would, at verse number 10, God gives us a building illustration here. A building illustration talking about how we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. We're going to give an account for the things done. Not for our sins. Amen. Jesus Christ already gave account for those, but for our works. And it says in verse number 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I do not know a lot about building, but I know this, Mr. Jack, the foundation is the most important thing of the building. The most important part of any building is the foundation. And listen to me and listen well. If you're going to have a Christian home, you're going to have Jesus Christ. That means you're going to have to be saved. Amen. That means that you're going to have to personally receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, Pastor, that's not a problem for us. I know that, but sometimes we gloss over that. The fact that two people could get married and one would be saved and one not would mean you could only have a half Christian home. Listen, especially young people, don't even consider courting somebody who's not saved. You know why? Because you have an unequally yoked home. You've got two oxen pulling in a different direction. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to build a Christian home, we've got to lay the foundation. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. We've got to have the Son of God. And can I say this? He's got to be welcome in our homes. He's got to be welcome in our homes. He's not welcome when you're watching some filthy television program. Amen. Listen, and I know preachers go to seed on this, but listen, he's not welcome at 11 o'clock when you got Hell Box Office on. Amen. He's not welcome at 1 in the morning when you're watching Cinemax or Showtime or any of those other filthy stations. Listen, he's got to be welcome in our homes. The Son of God ought to have preeminence in all things, especially in the home of a Christian. The Son of God. The key component in the building of a Christian home is the Son of God. Secondly, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Not only the Son of God, but over in 2 Peter chapter 1, a couple scriptures here. Look at verse number 4. Great chapter of the Word of God, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Isn't that a great verse? Boy, "that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then it goes on to give us a list. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Jump down to the end of the chapter, verse 21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to have a Christian home, number one, you've got to lay the foundation, and the foundation is the Son of God. But number two, can I tell you this? You will need the book of God. Exceeding precious promises. Can I tell you this? There are exceeding precious promises in here for how a husband should love a wife. It's okay, fellas, you can say amen. There are exceeding precious promises to show a lady how to be a wife and mother in this book. There are exceeding precious promises on how to help you raise your family. What I think has happened in America is we have had a complacency toward the Word of God because of God's blessings upon us. I never see that more than when Miss Barb Perrine got up and gave her slides and talked about the man, Pastor John, who walked 23 miles to get the Bible. Let me ask you this. If you had no Bible, would you walk 23 miles? 23 miles is a long way. That's a long way. And I don't think it was just straight down I-94. I think it was up and down in hills and valleys. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to build a Christian home, first of all, we need the Son of God, but we need to have obedience to the Book of God. The first thing I tell you, like Pastor John, is just get in there and read it. Read it. When I talk to young preachers and they ask about preaching, I say always the first thing you need to do is read the Bible. You'll get more sermons out of the Bible if you just read it. Amen. And then to know the stories that are in there and all that. Listen, there's so much in here that can help our homes, but we've got to apply it. The old line, some of you old timers know it, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Listen, we have the Bible. In our church, we have the right Bible. But I can't make you read it. You can't make me read it. You say, well, you're our pastor, you should read it. Amen, I should. But you can't make me read it. You got to want to. Listen, if you're going to have a Christian home, apart from the Bible, it is not going to succeed. It's just not. You need the book of God. You need the Son of God. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, our third point, and I may need a, you know what, I definitely need a pew Bible, because here's my Genesis chapter 2 right here. It's not that I don't love my Bible, amen. Thank you, Pastor John. It's, I guess I love it too much, amen, because it's torn clear. I'm not like Jehudi, Brother Sammons. It's cutting up the Bible. This has had a flaw in it since probably about 10 years ago. Genesis chapter number 2. Oh, these pew Bibles are a little smaller print there, amen. Not only the book of God, not only the Son of God, but look at verse number 18 of Genesis chapter 2. And I know we'll be in these verses several times during our series here on the Christian home. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him." Becoming a help that's proper for him. And then if you jump down to verse number 25... verse number 21, it says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God hath taken from the man made he woman, and he brought her unto the man." Can I say this? Not only the Son of God, not only the book of God, but the plan of God. You see, in our country, there is a movement afoot to do away with the plan of God. That is marriage between one man and one woman. That is marriage. That is only marriage. A man and a woman. And I love this text here because it tells us this. For those of you that are patiently awaiting for God, and I think especially of our young people, "I'm an old maid, I'm 22. Just hang in there, okay? God brought her to him. They didn't orchestrate that. You go to Genesis chapter 24, you remember when Abraham sent his servant out to find a bride for Isaac. He had some very specific things that Abraham had told him, and God brought a woman who met every one of those. See, the plan of God. By the way, here's the plan, young people. Love, marriage, intimacy, children, in that order. Thank you very much. Love, marriage, intimacy, children, in that order. That's the plan of God. That's the plan that God has blessed for thousands of years. Amen. The plan of God. If you're going to have a Christian home, build a Christian home, you're going to need not only the plan of God and the book of God and the Son of God, but go with me, if you would, over to Proverbs. And we've got several scriptures to look at here. Proverbs chapter number 9, our fourth point. And I was going to give everybody a pass on the suit coat tonight, but since I got mine on, you got to suffer with me, amen. I was going to take mine off. It's hot up on the platform, I'll tell you that, amen. The Son of God, the book of God, the plan of God. Proverbs chapter number 9, please. And we'll have some more verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 9, look at verse number 1. "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." You're not only going to need the Son of God, you're not only going to need the book of God, you're not only going to need the plan of God, but you're going to need the wisdom of God. You're going to need God's wisdom. Go with me over to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24, verses 3 and 4 when you get there. Verses number 3 and 4 of Proverbs chapter 24. Listen, if we're going to have homes that honor God, if we're going to have homes that God is pleased with, we are going to need His wisdom. It's not enough to have man's wisdom. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not interested in what Dr. Phil has to say, or Dr. Spock, or any other person with a doctor on their name. I want to know what God has to say. Because He's the one I want my home to be pleasing to. Verse number 3 says, through wisdom is an house builded. Boy, you ought to circle that verse. You ought to underline that verse. Through wisdom is an house builded. And by understanding is it established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You see, folks, if we're going to build a Christian home, we're going to have the wisdom of God. There'll be times, I think especially of our young families. I know we mentioned Jared and Liz this morning. I think of Lem and Katie getting ready just here in a couple weeks to have a baby. How exciting that is, amen? There's going to come times, young people, where you don't know what to do. What do I do? And you know what you're going to need to do? You're going to need to do this. Oh God, please give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I don't know what to do. By the way, there's nothing wrong with telling God you don't know what to do. James 1:5 says this, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The young king Solomon, when he came to the throne, and God said, I'll give you anything you ask for. Brother Becker, thank God, he said, you know what? I'm young and I don't know how to go out or come in. Please give me wisdom to judge these people. And God says, because you asked for that, I'm going to give you so much more. Just like this verse says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. My child's going astray. God, I need your wisdom. Help me. You're going to need the wisdom of God. You're going to need the plan of God. You're going to need the book of God. You're going to need the Son of God. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I first started preparing this message, and Pastor John knows how this goes. Only a preacher can know this. I was going to go in a completely different direction. I had some thoughts that I thought were from God, and I believe they were, and perhaps we'll use them a different time. But, boy, I got about halfway in, and it was time to crumple it up and throw it away. And God led in this direction. I'm so glad He did. The Son of God, the book of God, the plan of God, the wisdom of God. Number 5, look at verse number 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Listen, if you're going to build, really build a Christian home, you're going to need the house of God. You're going to need the house of God. I know there's this whole movement afoot in different isms and schisms of quote-unquote Christianity. Harold the Heretic, Mr. Rapture, said when the rapture was going to be, and of course it didn't happen, and now he's saying it again. He for years has advocated that you do not need the local church. You don't need it anymore, it's gone. Listen, there's a reason why I call him Harold the Heretic. You and I, if we're going to build our homes to be monuments to the honor and glory of God, we need the house of God. Listen, parents, coming to the house of God, where else is truth preached? Amen? On a consistent basis. And I've said this for many years as a youth pastor, and I know Pastor John would amen this. Listen, parents, we're in your corner. We're cheering for you. We're preaching about your authority. Where else is that happening? It's not happening in the public school. Listen, it's not happening in these little rebellious places where kids get together and tear down their homes and their parents. It's not happening. It happens at the house of God where truth is preached, where it's promoted, and where it can be seen being practiced. You see, the house of God will teach your children so many things. It'll teach your children about faithfulness. By the way, it'll teach us about faithfulness. I see Christians here. I saw on Thursday, I looked out, and by the way, I try to always see who's here, who's not. And I'm not one of those people that are always like, who's not here? I'm always like, who's here? I looked out, and I didn't see Lowell and Pat over there. And I don't see them today. And the reason is they're on vacation. And that's the only time you won't see Lowell and Pat. They're faithful. You see, what I want my children to see is it's important to be faithful to the house of God. I'm building my home that way. I'm building my home. Faithfulness, something else you'll see about coming to the house of God is priorities. Listen, when I first got saved, I played soccer on Sunday mornings. I was a goalie. I was a good team, an outstanding team. And I played goalie on that team. And if you know anything about soccer, you know this. There's only one goalie. There's a whole bunch of other players running around going crazy. And the goalie's standing there going like this. When's this going to be done? No, and then you occasionally have to do things like save the ball from going in a 24-foot hole. But boy, when I got saved, it wasn't very long after that I said to my coach, I can't come anymore. Why? Priorities. Priorities. Because it's important that you, that your children, that Christians around you see that the house of God is a priority. You see faithfulness, we see priorities. You know what else we see in the house of God that you can't have in the little house church, quote unquote? You see cooperation. You're going to see it here on display in a couple of weeks at Vacation Bible School. You're going to see total cooperation. You're going to see what a body really is. A body is not just an eye. It's not just an ear. It's not just a hand. It's all the things working together. And I'm going to tell you, you wait. It'll those of you that have not seen it last year, you come out for VBS. I'm telling you, it'll bless you. Because we learn cooperation at the house of God. We work together. Amen? We work together. Something else, we learn service at the house of God. We teach our children what it is to serve. Listen, I'm the pastor, but you know what? When I see a piece of paper on the ground, you know what I do? I pick it up. I know you do too. You know what I want? I want people to know that their pastor is a servant. Somebody said, it was Betty, we were talking today. May Jean had eye surgery, and I got the times mixed up, and I went down to Ann Arbor, and she was just coming out of surgery. And I just got to talk with her a little bit, and obviously just have prayer for her recovery. And Betty told me tonight, she said, Pastor, she just thought that was such a blessing that you would go all the way to Ann Arbor. And I said, well, isn't a pastor supposed to be a servant? It's not supposed to be a lord. Amen? Not supposed to be served and like I sit in this chair and get carried around by people. No, no, no. Supposed to be servants. See, we learn that. We teach that. We build our homes through the house of God, which teaches us service. Something else that the house of God teaches us is it teaches us submissiveness. You know, when you get really burdened and the Lord works on your heart, and you submit to His will. Listen, I realize that can happen in your car. That can happen in your home. I understand that. But more than likely, where does it happen? It happens in the house of God when the man of God preaches the word of God and the Spirit of God does a work in your heart. That all happens at the house of God. So listen, if you're going to build a Christian home, you need the house of God. It's important. It's if I could say this, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Jack, it's a load-bearing wall, the house of God, in the building of a Christian home. It's a load-bearing wall. Again, I don't know a lot, but I know talking to people, that's an important wall, load-bearing wall. the house of God. And lastly, and I'm finished with this, back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You're going to need the Son of God if you're going to build a Christian home. You're going to need the book of God. You're going to need the plan of God. You're going to need the wisdom of God. You're going to need the house of God. And lastly, number 6, you're going to need the commitment to God. We mentioned it at the beginning. I want to close with it as well. James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You want the blessing of a Christian home? Again, listen to me. Make a commitment that what God says, you will do. Everything rises and falls on that. Everything. I don't care what the Calvinist says. You're going to be a great Christian whether you want to be or not. Food. Everything revolves on you deciding, I am going to do what God says. I'm going to build my house on the Son of God. He's going to be welcome in my home. If it means I got to clear out some DVDs, I'm going to clear out some DVDs. If it means I got to cut the cable, I'm going to cut the cable. If it means I got to get away from the internet, I'm going to get away. The Son of God is going to be welcome in my house. Secondly, it's going to take the book of God. Sir, husband, do you well to take this book, open it with your wife, and read some verses. Pray together. Make sure your children know that the book of God is not just something for Sundays and Wednesdays. It's something for every day. It's a beautiful thing now. My children are younger, but I can't wait for the day, Pastor John, when they come down the stairs and they see their daddy at the dining room table with the book of God open. It ought to be that way, folks. It ought to be that way. The plan of God. The plan of God is love, marriage, intimacy, children, in that order. The wisdom of God, you're going to need it. The house of God. Let's be faithful to the house of God. Listen, this place, us as a people, we can help each other build our homes. This pulpit can help you build your home. This youth pastor right here can help you build your home. And then lastly, a commitment to God. It's up to you. What will you do with truth? Will you be the wise man that built his house upon the rock because he heard and did? You'll be that foolish man that said, it's okay to come and hear these messages, but I don't think I'm going to do them. You are foolish. You're building your house upon the sand. It's the building of a Christian home. Father,